And brethren, we realize there are no genies out there. We realize there is no one to grant us our wishes. We realize that we have to work for everything we receive. Now we know we will have help. We'll have help from our fellow classmates. We'll have help from our friends. Of course, we'll have help from our parents and family. But I want these three young people to know, in fact, I want everyone to know, we can find help from this congregation also. We saw these young men and this young woman grow up right before our very eyes. We know their potential. We're expecting to hear wonderful things about these young people in the near future and even in the distant future. But we want them to know they've always got a family right here if they ever need anything from us. Now, one of the greatest blessings they have, and knowing these young people, I know they've already thought of this, is the power that has been given unto us to bow our heads and pray to the Father. And they know, and all of us know, that His ears are always open to our cries, and He loves us, and He will answer our prayers. Maybe not in the style and maybe not in the time frame we look for, but He will hear and He will answer our prayers. And therefore, for my sermon today, I have found a prayer found in the New Testament. And this will be a dedication not only to these three young people, but to all of our young people. It is a prayer for the future. So if you have your New Testaments or if you have your device, turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Now we know from history and also from his epistle how much the Apostle Paul loved the church in Philippi. They were his heart. In fact, in the entire epistle he wrote to them, he never said anything of a warning or a discouraging nature. But he is writing to them in the third chapter, beginning with verse 14. And I'll read and I will make a few comments. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, that's what we were talking about a moment ago, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant us, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That's who we really are. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. We're going to use that as one of our points. That Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And then he says that we, being rooted and grounded in love, that's in Christ's love, we are rooted and grounded in Christ's love and are able to comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the width and length and breadth and height, the height of Jesus' love, to know the love of Jesus which passes knowledge, that we may be full, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he says, now unto him, that is God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, unto the power, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever. Amen. In this passage, Paul talks about three essential things. They will serve as the lesson topics. And though I will make reference to our graduates, I will make reference to our young people, these are for all of us. The first thing he talks about is we need to let Jesus rule our life. We need to let Jesus rule our life. We also need to share the love of Jesus wherever God puts us, wherever we end up. We need to share the love of Jesus. And my favorite of these points is we need to experience the very best that God has in mind for us, regardless of anything else. We must share. We must do the best we can with God's blessings. Now, just like these graduates, we all have to make choices. Some choices are very easy to make, you know, Ferrari or Lamborghini, that's an easy choice. Some are much harder to make. And really, the harder the choice, more often than not, the more important the decision. And what is the most important decision? It's decisions that deal with our eternity. It's decisions that make it possible to go to heaven or make it possible that we do not go to heaven. That's the most important decision. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, Paul is stating something very similar. And he says, we need to walk with God's Spirit. We need to understand the teaching of God, and we need to stay in that teaching. Much like what John says when he says we need to walk in the light where God is, and the blood of his Son Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. We cannot rely on our own strength. Young people, we don't have that much strength. Therefore, we need to rely on the power of God. Paul says also in Galatians, but this time chapter 2, it's no longer Paul. It's no longer Shan. Once Shan, once you have accepted Jesus as Lord of your life, now it's Christ living in us. And when we go off to school, or when we go off to military, or when we go to work, whatever the case may be, we are representing Jesus Christ all the time. I remember when I was a teenager. Well, many of you remember when I was a teenager. My parents would remind me just about every time I went out on the weekend. Now, Shan, don't forget, you're our son. You're a Jackson, and you need to honor that name. Well, even greater than that, we're Christians. We're named after Christ. We are followers of Christ. We are disciples of Christ, learners of his cause, and we represent him at all times. Christ needs to dwell in our hearts through faith. Now, this word dwell that Paul uses is not a casual word. He's not talking about, and I'll use our vocabulary, he's not talking about going on vacation and going to a Motel 6 on vacation. That's not what he's talking about. When he uses the word dwell, the word that he uses means to be a permanent residence. In other words, some of us have grown up in Port Lavaca. This is where we dwell. This is our permanent residence. And a lot of times, if you feel the way I do, even when I moved away, I still said, this is my home. Port Lavaca is my home. Well, we need to say and dwell with Christ in our hearts. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And Jesus doesn't want us to be a Christian just ever once in a while. He wants us to be a Christian all the time. He doesn't want us to open our heart to him just ever once in a while. He wants our heart to remain open to him. Not to be a Christian just when we come to church, but be a Christian at work, at school, at college, at military. Wherever we are representing Jesus Christ. He needs to dwell permanently in our life through faith. We need to open up to him. That's Paul's first request. Let Jesus rule your life. His second request is this. Share the love of Jesus wherever God puts you. Brethren, I have stated this many times, and probably for the rest of my life, I will always state it this way. I believe in the providence of God. I don't know if I can explain it even to satisfy myself, but I believe in the providence of God. Wherever God puts us, we need to share the love of Jesus. In the book of Acts, it says that they were dispersed because of persecution. But everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. Why? Because they were rooted and grounded in love. There's a phrase that all of us probably have heard. We talk about someone that grows a beautiful garden or beautiful flowers, and we say, oh, they have a green thumb. I don't know if there is a phrase that describes the opposite of that, but my name would be in that phrase somewhere. I can't grow tomatoes, potatoes, and I could go on and on. I can grow plants, but I can't grow fruit. I can go grow plants, but I can't grow flowers. I just don't have a green thumb. I just don't have those plants or those seeds or those vegetables rooted and grounded. And it is essential in a life, in the life of a plant, to be rooted and grounded. And it is essential, as Paul says, that we be rooted and grounded in Christ. Now, I was never a proponent of that little rubber band bracelet that was popular. I don't even remember how long. And it had the initials that represented what would Jesus do. I was not a big proponent of it, but I do like the concept. Anytime we're in the world, anytime we're anywhere, what would Jesus do under like circumstance? What would Jesus do? That's what we need to do. And that's why Paul is so interested in this relationship. We've got to root and ground ourselves in Christ's love to have the right kind of relationship. Only then can we comprehend the width and height and depth of Jesus' love. Only then can we understand what Jesus represents to us something which surpasses all understanding. Only then can we be filled with the fullness of God. Brethren, we live in a world of apathy. Christians, we cannot be apathetic. We have to understand our responsibility because we understand what it means to be a Christian. And finally, there is a third request that Paul makes. And that is that we experience the very best that God has for us and never settle for less. Young people, think of it this way. Your Heavenly Father created everything there is. Your brother secured for you salvation that no one else could do. The Spirit inspired men to write a Bible, which is a perfect roadmap leading to our spiritual eternity. He's given you a family. He's given you a church family, which will help you on every step of the way. Why should a Christian ever settle for anything less than the very, very best? Now, as a parent, I speak for all of us parents, we want what's best for our children. Sometimes they don't understand or interpret our actions as wanting what's best for them, but we want what's best for our children. We want them to be prepared for every situation. We want to help them avoid trouble. We want to help them avoid sadness. We want what's best for them. Well, as Paul said, we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And God wants to help us prepare through a study of the Scripture for every obstacle and every challenge that will ever face us. He wants to help us be prepared not only for hard times, but sad times. He wants what's best for us. But I can remember my parents saying this to me. I remember me saying this to my children. I would say, you got to work with me in this. Well, we've got to work with God. He is not going to make us do anything. He is going to encourage us to do everything. So we need to represent Him in every way. Now, the title of my lesson dealt with a yardstick, a ruler. Young people, who is going to be the yardstick of your life? What phraseology is going to lead you through life? There was a phrase when I was young, and it was this: well, everybody else is doing it. I would ask my parents, can I go somewhere? They knew that was a bad place to go. I knew that was a bad place to go. They would tell me no, and I would say, well, everybody else is going. Everybody else is doing it. I didn't want to live based on someone else's standards. I wanted to live based on God's standards. So a person who says, I want God to accomplish what God can accomplish in my life. That's what we want these three young people to do. That's what we want all our young people to do. Accomplish what God wants to accomplish in your life. Live up to His expectations, and I'll assure you, you'll live up to our expectations. Now, our reading was in the form of a prayer. It is only appropriate that we have a prayer for our graduates even at this time. Brethren, this is a special time for these young people. I'm sure in a little bit of a sense, it's frightening, but trust me, they'll all get through it. These are good kids. I would not say it that way if they were not. These are good kids. They know what's right and wrong, and we know they will do what's right. And now they embark on a brand new chapter in their life. Fear needs to take a back seat to excitement. This will be the most exciting time in their lives. And God's hand has been with you all these many years. Ask Him to be with you for the rest of your life. He has made you, helped you make the right choices in life up to this point. He will help you from this point forward as well. That is our prayer for you. In fact, let me lead a prayer for you. Dear Father, we pray today that You will grant to Elena and Blaine and Marcus the wisdom that they will need in order to handle not only the next few years of their lives, but the rest of their lives. Help them to make choices that will be pleasing to You and therefore will be pleasing to the rest of the world. And we pray that You will set them on a path of life that will be a blessing to others and a benefit to Your church. And we pray that You will grant them not only success in the professional arena and not only success now in their families, but also in the church. Most importantly, in the church, which makes them a success in Your eyes. And may they always remember Your words that You spoke through Your prophet concerning them and the rest of us, where God said, "For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And this is our prayer through Jesus. Amen. Now, we don't want to detract from our appreciation of these young people, but it's important for us and it's important for the audience to receive the invitation of Jesus Christ. So if there is anyone here today who has reached a degree of maturity, they are now ready to be baptized for the remission of their sins, or if you, for any other reason, need to come asking forgiveness, strength, whatever the case may be, won't you come if you need to? Come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.